And good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord, and good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to our Tuesday weekly pastoral Bible study and prayer session. We call it Pastoral Connect. We call it Pastoral Connect because this is an opportunity for me as the pastor of Beulah Tabernacle to connect with the saints of God, to share with them what thus saith the Lord, and to be able to pray together. We know that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And we are admonished through the word of God that men ought to always pray and not to faint. It is also an imperative of ours as a pastor obliged by God's choice to watch over souls, to teach the people the word of God. It is important that as a spirit-filled believer, that you are not just given the word of God on a Sunday or in the context of a preaching experience. Oh no, but God wants his children to learn. He wants his children to grow. He wants his children to be blessed and understand the height, the depth, the breadth, the length, and the width, all of the multifaceted dimensions of the Word of God, and not only the dimensions of the Word of God, but also to understand the heart of God, the mind of God, the will of God. And this is a part of the word. The Lord gives shepherds so that the people of God can grow. The Lord gives shepherds so that the people of God will understand how to walk by faith and not by sight. Too many times, believers are encouraged through the preaching of the word, but they lack understanding as to how to apply this powerful word to their lives. And tonight, we are grateful to God for the opportunity to be able to share wisdom and knowledge with you through the study of God's word. We are going to share our screen at this time so that you can prepare yourselves in terms of volunteers to read tonight. I apologize for the background noise. There's the printers printing something right now. And I apologize for that if that was a distraction. But we are getting ready to go into the word, and we're again very excited about it. And so I pray that you will turn with us now into the word of God. Before we begin our study, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we honor your presence and we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have allowed us to be assembled here, though virtually we are yet united. But more than us being together, we are together with you. Lord, let your spirit move right now. Someone has gone through a sort of a day. It's been some kind of day. And Lord God, they need to hear a word from you. Someone is going through some kind of week, and they need to hear a word from you. Someone has been going through some kind of month, some kind of year, some kind of season, but we know that your word is always in season. Your word is always applicable. And so by the move of your Holy Spirit, speak to the need right now of every listener. Let your Holy Spirit build up, strengthen as we hear your words tonight. Let us apply them in obedience to our lives, for we know that it is the doer of the word that is blessed and not the hearer only. We commit ourselves into your hands, desiring your spirit to lead and to bless in this teaching moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Again, welcome. It's Tuesday, May 25th in the year 2021. And there's just two things that I want to share with you tonight. One is a little bit of housekeeping, and we came into 2021 as a year, and you see the theme on our screen, it shall be done in 21. And this theme is based upon what God has given us for Beulah Tabernacle. It is a part of what's in my heart that drives everything that we do. Out of Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 through 21, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. And what you will see when you turn to those pages and read that sacred text, that there is something consistent about the theme of these verses, that there is action associated with our walk with God. The power of God operating in us, able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The power of God strengthening us so that we stagger not at the promises of God through unbelief, but remain strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to do, but foundationally to understand that if we speak the word of God by faith, and this is a faith walk, my friend. This is a faith walk. This is not psychology. This is not human philosophy. It's not systematic theology. This is a walk of faith, pure and simple. And if we put the word of God in our spirit and walk by faith according to God's word, the scripture declares that if we have faith, and doubt not that we can speak to a fig tree, but not only to the fig tree. And this is the text where Jesus cursed the fig tree because it had leaves and no fruit. It was masquerading that it had something to offer. And that's a whole nother lesson in and of itself. It had leaves, but no fruit. It was perpetrating a fraud. And Jesus was hungry. He went to the tree, it had leaves, it had expected it to have fruit, it didn't, and Jesus cursed the tree. The next day, the tree withered and died. And when they came back around to see the tree the next day, the disciples were surprised and shocked that the tree had so quickly withered away. Jesus told them, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, I could see him stretching out his arms, pointing to a nearby mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Jesus wants you to understand that faith in his word has the power to move mountains. This was the foundation that God put in my spirit for the theme for us for this year. And whether you are a member of Beulah Tabernacle or not, you can embrace this theme with us. This is not just for us. More importantly, it is for all those that will receive it. It shall be done in 21. And so we here find ourselves now and almost at the first half of the year gone by. In the beginning of the year, we gave a charge to every member, as the Lord had put it upon my spirit, to charge each and every one of us to identify three areas in our lives where we want to make an accomplishment. We spent a great deal of time, and these lessons are recorded and found on our website, discussing how to construct meaningful goals. We spent about two lessons on goal setting, and the Lord gave us quite a bit to share. I would direct you to our website, www.beulahtabrocks.org, and you can get the recorded lessons that are there. You can listen to it for a refresher, or you can go there to listen to them from the beginning, if you will. But where we are right now is we had three goals to accomplish between then and the end of May. And today is the lesson time that actually marks just the next to the beginning of the end. Next Tuesday, when we come together, it's June 1st. So what we will be doing next week is I'll be talking with you about those goals. And what I want to encourage everyone on this line to understand is that while I am trying to develop a congregation that is purpose-driven, and that understands the importance of being productive in our lives, that we do not beat each other up, or we don't beat ourselves up if we don't hit the goal. I don't want you to feel like you are not worth it, that you are incapable. I am here to help, to build, to encourage. And if you got all three goals done, great. If you got two goals done, great. If you got one goal done and you were trying to get it done, great. The thing that's important is that you understand the importance of being goal-oriented. We don't work for our salvation because Jesus paid it all, but we are stewards of the gifts and the anointing that is on our lives. And oftentimes, you will see a different reaction when you lead people and begin to hold them accountable to be productive. A lot of times, folks just like to fade into the background and not take any kind of front-facing positions. That's all well and good. When we talk about individually accomplishing things in your life, no one needs to put a microphone in your hand to trumpet it. You don't have to stand before an audience of hundreds of thousands to announce it. But I do want you to understand how important your life is to God. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And we will be held accountable for what God has given us. The Bible talks about the parable of the talents, and I'm not going to go too much further because I don't want to take away the time from tonight's lesson. I'd like to try to stay as focused as possible, but I feel an unction in my spirit to admonish you all to understand that we will all be called to stand before the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the deeds that have been done in this body, whether good or whether not good. And when God gives you something, the scriptures are clear: to whom much is given, much is required. Whether it's one talent, two talents, three or four or five, productivity is expected because God has anointed you to bear fruit. And I just want you to put that down. Somebody needs to know this and write this in their notes tonight, that I have been anointed to bear fruit. I have been anointed to bear fruit. Let's get into the lesson today. We're dealing, the Lord had shifted us to lay a doctrinal foundation, to share with you the doctrines of Christ. And because we know that getting things done means getting our lives in line with Scripture, New Testament Scripture, New Testament teaching, the Lord directed us to share with you the doctrines of Christ, those things that we must believe as being followers of Jesus. But it didn't stop there. Aside from the seven doctrines of Christ, we taught you concerning the seven essentials of holy living. Because it's not enough to know what we must believe. We must also combine that with what we must do. As a Christian, it's not just about the concept of Christianity, not just about the things we must believe, but it is also about what we must do. Because faith without works is dead. The actions of the believer. My God, my God. Somebody put down in your notes, you have been anointed for action. Inasmuch as it is God that worketh in us both to will, to do of his own good pleasure, you have been anointed for action. My God, my God, my God. Let's get into tonight's lesson. Praise the name of God. Again, for those of you that may be just joining us for the first time, and even for the saints that have been, saints and visitors that have been with us from before, I certainly want to direct you to our website. We talked about the goal setting. We talked about getting it done in 21. We talked about how to make progress under persecution. Lord, have mercy in my spirit. I don't know why the Lord is taking me down this road, but it was important to note that we've got to confess God's word over ourselves, and we've got to speak what God's word says. And we've got to understand that the moment you become purpose-driven, when you're dealing with purpose, power, prayer, and praise, my God, the enemy is going to try to discourage you and get in your way of your progress, make you feel that you cannot do it. But we taught you through the word of God about being free of the fear of failure. We taught you through the word of God about how to persevere when being persecuted, how to stay focused when the fight is on. And so again, beloved, we want to encourage you and admonish you to stay on course with God. Let's get into this aspect now, because now we're talking about not only what you must believe, but what we must do. We just came out of a series of lessons concerning fellowship and what the scriptures say we must do to secure and maintain fellowship amongst the saints. But the second aspect of fellowship has to do with how we fellowship with God, how God fellowships with us. And this is under the heading of the seven essentials of holy living, what we must do. And so we started out last week with level two communication, communicating with God. We dealt with the first aspect, which is by the word. And for those that are listening, I'm just going to read the scriptures because you may not see what we're all seeing. But if you're listening to the recording, the first way we fellowship with God is through his word. And we share with you Psalms 119, verse 89, Psalm 119, verse 11, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, John chapter 1, verse 1, that's the Gospel of John, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 through 4, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That's the first way we communicate our fellowship with God, through his word. Number two is by the Holy Spirit. And I see that we've got volunteers. The first, I'll read the verses for this point, which is point number two. Doing this for the benefit of those that are listening but not able to see, that they don't have a camera or anything, or you may be listening to the recording. Number two is by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Let's dig in. The Green family, God bless you. We got Acts chapter 12. And again, those that are on the line, if you're when you volunteer, please make sure that you're chatting with everyone so that everybody else on the line can see what's been selected, and then we'll know how to go from there. I think we don't have anybody for Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, but I anticipate by the time we get there, we'll have a volunteer. Let's go to the word of God. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. The Lord speaks to us not just through his word, but also by the Holy Spirit. Let's see what Acts chapter 13, verse number 2 has to say.
Acts 13, the second verse. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them."
Amen. So it's important here. We want you to see that the first century church often found themselves seeking God. And this is not an uncommon thing. The Bible says, in all our ways to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Trust in the Lord. Actually, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." And so here, that same spirit and wisdom is given, and it was concerning the selection of men to do God's work. And as they were worshiping the Lord, they were fasting, they were waiting for guidance, waiting for the Holy Spirit's guidance. The Holy Spirit ministered unto them. And as they, it's interesting, as they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit responded. And I want to emphasize that as they ministered unto the Lord, as they worshiped the Lord, they were in worship. They were fasting. They were making the Lord a priority. And in the midst of that, as they were focusing on God, the Bible says that the Spirit spoke and gave direction. And you need to make a note of this, that when we do go on a consecration, and this is not just something for when we do it corporately, when you do it individually, when you do it privately, you need to seek the direction from God. And I promise you, God will speak. He's speaking right now. Let's go on. Acts chapter 20, verse number 22 through 24.
Praise the Lord. Acts 20, verses 22 through 24. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
God bless you. Oftentimes, we think that when the Lord speaks to us, it's going to be what we want to hear. God, help me in my spirit. Lord, help us tonight. The Holy Ghost is talking right now. Sometimes we are nervous to go to God because we don't want to hear what God has to say. This was an example that the Lord directed me to, because there are times when the Lord speaks, it's not going to be necessarily something that you might be looking to hear. The Holy Spirit bore witness to Paul that in every city that the Lord was going to direct him to, that there was going to be problems. There was going to be challenges, bonds, afflictions. That's what he's going into. And sometimes people expect that the only thing that God is going to say to me is I'm going to walk into my blessing. I'm going to walk into my breakthrough. I'm going to walk into this. I'm going to walk into that. I'm going to speak over this situation and God's going to turn it around. Well, that's very true. But there are sometimes when what God turns around is you. My God, my God. Sometimes where God does the work, it's not around you, it's inside of you. And so the Lord in his mercy spoke to Paul. He was compelled by the Holy Spirit, led by the conviction that God put in his spirit, going to Jerusalem, not knowing what was going to happen. But the Holy Spirit put it in his heart, communed with him, and let him know that there was going to be trouble waiting. But that wasn't going to stop him, because Paul said here, I considered my life, I didn't count my life dear to me. I didn't consider it anything that was more valuable than the mission. Lord, have mercy on my spirit. The call was greater than his life. And if it meant giving up his life, those of you that have read the book of Romans, you know that Paul was not just willing to go to Rome to share the gospel. He was willing to give up his life if necessary. And so I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you no matter what the Holy Spirit says, because it may be something you want to hear. And then again, it may be something you don't want to hear. But God will speak. The Holy Spirit will speak. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8, verses 15 through 17.
All right. And this is in the NASB translation. It reads, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him."
Amen. It is important to know that there is an experience that every child of God will go through. that we will be blessed to know that God has liberated us. And this spirit of liberty, this spirit of adoption, this spirit of sonship, it allows us to have a relationship that God wanted to always have with us, where the spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are his children. And the expression that we joyfully cry out is an expression, Abba, Father. It is a expression of comfort, of confidence, of security, of intimacy on the level of relationship. Nothing foul or sexual or perverted, but closeness. And I like that word because the Holy Spirit reminds you of your closeness to God. Somebody ought to put that in their notes. The Holy Spirit will remind me of my closeness to God. Now, sometimes people have prayer disposition that I want to draw closer to God. And one of the things that tonight's lesson will do for you is show you how to do that. You get closer by reading his word, by praying, by giving yourself to fasting, by studying his word. And so understand from a proximity standpoint, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord can't get any closer to you than to be indwelling inside of you. And so that is the fact. But experientially, we talk about closeness as it relates to relationship. Somebody will ask you the question, oh, are you close to that person? They're not talking about your proximity. They're talking about your relationship. Sometimes the question is asked of those that are even related already by blood. And so some relations are close relations. Some relations are not so close. Yeah, you know, you may respond to the question, are you close to that person? Yeah, I'm kind of close to them. Yeah, you know, I know what they like. You know, we've been friends for many years. And closeness is not limited to family. Closeness is a term that's used to express level of relationship even between people who are not blood. But here, the Apostle Paul wants us to understand our closeness to God. And I want you to write that in your notes. I want you to write that in your notes because the time when your closeness to God becomes even more important is during those times when you're suffering, when you are going through the airship of God, joint airship with Christ. You know, those are wonderful terms because it speaks of our inheritance, and an inheritance is something of value. Inheritance is something that you receive by given by someone that loves you in the context of their demise. So sometimes the experience of the Holy Spirit will need to remind you not just of what's to come, but what you have right now. In fact, in that we share, we share in his sufferings so that we have the right to be glorified. You can't, the glory of the Lord on your life is the reflection of the power of God in your obedience. The glory of the Lord on your life is the reflection of God as it relates to your obedience. God's glory comes upon an obedient child. When Moses was in the presence of God, the Bible says that his face, his skin was illuminated. And I believe that even now, while we don't experience the interaction that Moses had with God in the tabernacle, that we, as the children of God right now, in our devotion to God, with our daily devotion, our time spent to read the word, our time spent in prayer, the time we spend in personal fasting or corporate fasting. When you come out of that experience, there's something that ought to be changed about you. Hey, glory to God. You should not expect to fast on Tuesday and then the day ends and you're just like the way you started on Tuesday morning. You ought to, and I know that we do it as a regular part of our ministry. We fast on Tuesdays. So it's a liquid fast until after this lesson. And we have a prayer focus where we're praying for souls who are on the altar. We're praying for the members of our congregation. We're praying, we're fasting, we're reading the word, and we do it with the spirit of expectation. Sometimes people do this so much that to them it becomes a routine and it loses its potency because of the perspective of the individual. It doesn't lose its power because you don't think it's powerful. It doesn't lose its power because we do it often. It loses its power if you allow it to be diminished in your eyes, if you allow it to be common in your eyes, if you don't hold it sacred in your eyes. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's not going to make God any bigger when you do it. It's going to help you to realize and recognize and discern his grandeur, his glory, his greatness, his awesome power. It affects your perspective. And I want to encourage you right now that your perspective of God is going to affect how you go through suffering. Hey, glory to God. It's going to affect your attitude when God is trying to take you someplace higher. My God, my God. And so this fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit ministering to us, giving us the assurance of the closeness of God, undergirding us by the witness of the Spirit, that means a confirmation. When we talk about the word witness, it talks about confirmation. Sometimes we will use the phrase, if somebody's talking to us about something that somebody else spoke to us about, and the two people never talk to each other, the person that's listening to it will say to the second person, "That's a witness to me." And what they mean by that is that what you've just said is very similar, if not identical, to what somebody else just said to me. And the two parties that did the talking, they hadn't talked to each other at all. And so this bearing witness, this confirmation, hey, is what the Holy Spirit will do. And it's important for you to learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, because the Holy Spirit speaks and it reminds us of who we are, that if we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together with him. Let's go on. That was Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, please.
While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation.
Okay, thank you so much. It's not enough to hear the voice of God, to be encouraged by it within our spirit, but it's a move, it's a call to action. It's a call to action. And you need to write this down in your notes. God will speak to my spirit to give me a call to action. God's word is a call to action. When the Holy Spirit deals with us, speaks to us, when we hear the voice of God, the scripture says, don't become rebellious. This is the context of this is when the people of Israel rebelled in the desert at Meribah. And their rebellion there caused God to have to deal with them. Anytime God's children are in rebellion, God deals with you. For whom the Lord love, he chasteneth, and every son he scourgeth. If you don't endure chastening from the Lord, the scriptures say that you're responding as illegitimate children, and the scriptures use the strong term bastards, that you are acting as children without head, without a covering. and the cover, the word of the Lord is protection. I'm gonna say that one more time. The word of the Lord is protection. And when the voice of God, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the Bible is saying here, don't stiffen your neck up. When you hear God's voice, it's an opportunity to move forward. The devil will oftentimes, in certain cases, cause people to act stiff and rebellious and resistant. And here, Paul is writing to the saints, to the Hebrew Christians, and telling them, listen, when you hear the Lord's voice, don't act in your flesh. I think that's very powerful. You need to write that down. God's word is not designed for you to act in your flesh or to act in accordance with the spirit of this world, the philosophy and ideology of this world, your street sense and street smarts. It's given to you because God's wisdom is in his word. And when he speaks to you, when the Holy Spirit ministers to you, it is to give you wisdom. In the book of Genesis, when God spoke to Adam and told him to not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't to hide anything from him. It was to protect him from something he wasn't prepared to handle. God have mercy. God's word is not just going to tell you in terms of going forward or making a move. Sometimes the call to action is to resist the devil and to resist the operation of the flesh, to learn how to stand firm and still upon God's word. And so the devil will often bring resistance, alternative, rebellion, and that provokes God. You don't want to provoke God. Let me make it simple for you. You don't want to get on God's bad side, because the Lord will judge you and chasten you so that you don't get condemned with the world when the rapture takes place and the tribulation period unfolds and judgment falls upon this world like never before. You want to be rapture ready and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and being obedient to what the word of God says is going to put you in a position where you will be ready for the rapture. Let's continue. Point number three, in communication with God. The first one was by the word. The second is by the Holy Spirit. The third is even in your spirit. God will even use your spirit to communicate with directly. In 1 Kings chapter 19, that should actually be verse number 12. I'm going to make a quick adjustment to the notes because I see that that should be 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. So the person that had 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2, please just drop down a little further and let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 12. I'm going to share the screen again in a second. Okay, let's go there. Do I have a volunteer for that? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 12. And then I need to get volunteers lined up for the rest of the stuff. Go ahead.
And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice.
Thank you. When the Lord was dealing with his servant, Elijah was under a great strain. Elijah with a J was under the strain because of the circumstances that were befalling him from Jezebel. King Ahab was one of the kings in the history of the people of God. And he married a woman by the name of Jezebel. She was a a polytheist. She worshiped many gods. She was an ungodly woman, and her ungodly influence affected Ahab. She brought with her the prophets of her false god, prophets of Baal, prophets of the grove. I believe there was a total of 850 prophets that stood up against the man of God. It was important to understand that Elijah needed to be comforted because his life was being threatened by Jezebel. He had just come out of the great demonstration of the power of God in the demonstration at Mount Carmel, where the Lord answered by fire and demonstrated his power over the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. That was a high time. It was a powerful time. And the Bible lets us to know how God answered by fire, licked up the wood, licked up the water, licked up everything, and demonstrated his power over the vain power or the lack of power completely of the prophets of Baal. So the God of Israel prevailed. Right after that, Jezebel threatened Elijah. And this is where you do have to be on guard, because there are times when you will come out of a great high experience, and then you come into something that almost makes you feel like you got your legs cut out from under you. And what Elijah was experiencing was that Jezebel sent out, she put a hit on the man. You know, she was going to have him killed. And she didn't say, "I'm just coming to get you." She said, I'm going to have your life taken by this time tomorrow." So she pushed. She was fuming. Of course, she was humiliated. Her prophets were killed, slain. The prophets of Baal were slain. And so she was basically saying to Elijah, "I'm going to do to you what you did to my prophets." And Elijah was terrified. He was running for his life, ran under a juniper tree, said, "Lord, I've had enough. Take my life. Take my life." So he was at a low point, and God began to deal with him. And there were things that were happening around him. And the Bible talks about the earthquake. It talks about the fire. These were things, these manifestations were taking place around him. And while he was there, he might have thought that that was how God was going to speak to him, but it wasn't through the earthquake, wasn't through the fire. It was a whisper. It was a whisper. Whew. Sometimes in your spirit, there'll come a whisper, and the Lord just encouraged him with a whisper, being still enough to hear God, to hear the whisper. And this text is basically letting us know that what came to Elijah came from within Elijah. Today we sing the song, "Sometimes You Have to Encourage Yourself." And so sometimes the Lord will minister to your spirit to the point where you will speak to yourself and say, "Listen, back in the day, we used to, there was a song, Take Courage, My Soul. Let us journey on. Though the night be dark, it won't be very long. Thanks be to God, the morning light appears and the storm is passing over." Indeed, there are times when you just have to encourage yourself, your spirit. Let's go on to number four, which is dreams and visions. We just came from number three, where the Lord will communicate to us through our own spirit, which is 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. Going to number four, which is dreams and visions, Genesis chapter 37, verses 2 through 8, Daniel chapter 2, verse 13 through 19, Revelations chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Let's begin reading straight away.
Genesis chapter 37, verse 2 to 8. Yep. And in the NASB Bibles reads on in this manner. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when he was 17 years of age, was pastoring the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his other sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a multicolored tunic. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers. And so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaves stood up and also remained standing. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brother said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words.
Thank you, son. Joseph was given dreams. He was given dreams of what God was going to do with his life. And I want you to understand why we read this in context is because there's oftentimes some serious dynamics that go along with these dreams. One of the things here, Joseph was young compared to his brothers, and he was favored. A word of caution for all parents that are listening, to love your child or love your children all the same. When parents play favorites with their children, it's the worst thing that you can possibly do with them, because it puts them, some of them will be put in a position of feeling that they have to earn your love, and others can feel the way Joseph's brothers felt toward him, in that they hated him because they saw that he was favored. Be very careful with how you treat your children, because they are watching. Another thing that comes out of this lesson, again, to share, to put the context to some significance, is the fact that when the Lord drops things in your heart, sometimes it's not for you to share with people. You'll note that the text says he was 17 years old when this began to happen. If you make a note of Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, you'll notice that it was when Joseph was 30 years old when he came before Pharaoh. There were 13 years between the time that the Lord put this in Joseph's spirit by the dream and the time it was fulfilled. This speaks to us about understanding timing. That just because God has put something in your spirit doesn't mean that now is the time. As much as God put it in your spirit, he will also give you the plan so that you know when the time is right. Be encouraged, saints. The Holy Spirit will speak to us through dreams and visions, and we must understand how to allow those dreams and visions to govern our lives or to affect our lives. Let's go on quickly to Daniel chapter 2, verse 13 through 19.
Daniel chapter 2, verses 13 through 19. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. and that he would shew the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to the house, to his house, and made the thing known to Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercy of the God of heavens concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heavens.
Thank you so much, Stanley. This was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had during the second year of his reign, where he had dreams, and the dreams troubled him. It caused him to be in tremendous fear. And he didn't understand the dream. The thing that made it more complicated, when he told his astrologers, his magicians, et cetera, about giving him the interpretation, they said to him, okay, well, tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation. And the king basically said, no, it's not going to happen that way. As a matter of fact, it troubled me so much that it's come from my mind, come from my spirit. So what I need you to do, I need you to tell me the dream and then give me the interpretation. And if you don't tell me both the dream and the meaning, basically, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you, your houses, everything's going to be reduced to rubble. You're going to be cut into pieces, et cetera, and your home will be made a dunghill. And so the king put it out there for them, and his magicians and astrologers said, you know, nobody asks their magicians, astrologers to do something like this. This is outside of the norm. And so the decree went forth to have them all killed because he was furious. And when the word got to Daniel that he and his friends were going to be killed as well, Daniel sought to intercede with Arioch, actually, who was the king's executioner. And he sought an opportunity because of the harshness of this decree. And he wanted to speak to Nebuchadnezzar. It was granted him to speak with the king. And Daniel went home with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they sought the Lord and asked God for mercy, and went before God. And the long and short of it is that God revealed the secret to Daniel. He revealed the dream to Daniel. And Daniel went before King Nebuchadnezzar. He explained the dream and he interpreted the dream, and it put Daniel in a high ranking position within the nation and the kingdom of Babylon. It was a most impressive display of the power of God through Daniel, and King Nebuchadnezzar honored Daniel greatly, and recognized that Daniel's God is the God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. And it's important for you to understand that when God speaks to you, sometimes God will speak to you in a dream as it relates to you. Other times God will speak to you in a dream as it relates to others. And God can give the interpretation, the understanding of it. And this is one of the ways that God deals with us through dreams. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 12.
I saw in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto
Laodicea.
Laodicea. And I turned and saw, and I turned and see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes these names, these Bible names can be kind of tricky. Some of them can be quite a tongue twister. The thing here that's important is that I want you to understand Joseph was in a comfortable place. He was with his family. Daniel was in a strange land. He was in the land of Babylon as one of the captives from Jerusalem brought into the Babylonian Empire. And there, God used him and his three companions that distinguished themselves by not defiling themselves with the king's meat that was offered to idols. They did not eat food that was offered to idols when they knew that it was offered to idols. But it was in a land that was a strange land to them that God was giving them favor in. Here in Revelation chapter 1, John the Apostle is exiled on an island called Patmos out in the Aegean Sea. He was there exiled because of his testimony concerning Jesus Christ. Patmos was a penal island. It was one of those islands that prisoners were sent to die. Wild animals were there, left to fend for yourself, to survive on the land and to protect yourself against life-threatening animals, as well as the elements of whatever it was in terms of the weather condition. And while he was exiled there on this penal island, the Lord began to deal with him in a vision. It was that experience that served as the foundation for the book we know as the Revelation. It's sometimes called the Revelation of John, but it in fact is the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the final word. It is the great book of prophecy concerning the last times, a premier book, companion with the book of Daniel in the study of eschatology, or the study of the things pertaining to the last days. And these seven churches were a part of the introductory statements and introductory visions that that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to John. I share this with you because I want you to understand that the Lord will minister to us in dreams and visions. It doesn't require a comfort place. It doesn't require a place of tranquility and peace. Under three different experiences and context, the Lord dealt with his people by dreams and visions. In the comfort of their home, in the travail and testing of a strange land, a carnal land, as exiles, and even as being on an island by himself. The Lord will speak to us. And I want you to understand these three passages provide a panorama to assure you that no matter what situation you find yourself in, God can get a word to you. God can put a vision in your spirit. God can open up your eyes to see what the natural man cannot see. And we're going to end our lesson on that note. Woo! Some people have dreams. Some people have visions. Some people may not. Sometimes the visions are things that the Lord sows in a person's spirit. Sometimes it's something that a person is able to visualize and they see it in their spirit. Sometimes it happens when a person is semi-sleep, which is the next point, number five, which deals with trance. Sometimes even in a trance state, the Lord will speak to us. And that's from Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 11. And we'll get to that next week. That's where we will start next week. We'll pivot at this time to go before the Lord in prayer, because there are needs. And when we came out of our service on Sunday, the Lord dropped this in my spirit, because I can hear the heart of some of the people that were on the call. They shared testimonies, but they also shared concerns. And tonight, our focus, in addition to understanding what we shared in the lesson, we're praying concerning men who have been under emotional attack, men that have been under spiritual attack, husbands, fathers, sons, nephews, uncles, grandsons, some that have lost their way as it relates to their walk with God, some who are straddling the fence when it comes to their dedication and commitment to the things of God, some men that are bound and the enemy is running roughshod over them. But tonight, we, the people of God, band together in intercessory prayer for men. At this time, we will be led in prayer. Our brotherhood, our women, our young people, they'll come. There's a representative. I believe that the brothers have a few men that will be praying tonight. And so I believe Junior Deacon Austin, we've got two. Okay, very good. So after you and Brother Dale, then our women, and then we'll conclude with our youth representative in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, our women representative, then our youth representative, and then I'll give the final prayer. Let's pray.
Oh God, we thank you tonight, Lord. We praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we glorify you tonight, Lord God. This certainly is the day, hallelujah, that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for having mercy upon our lives, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, because we are still here in the land of the living. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, because yet and still you've kept us, Lord God. You've protected us, Lord God. You've protected our minds. You've protected our hearts, Lord God. You've protected our families, Lord God. You've protected us, Lord God. In the name of your name, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for your grace, Lord God, hallelujah, and your mercy upon our lives, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And on behalf of the men, I ask you right now, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that whatever we've done, Lord God, anything that we've said, Lord God, anything that we thought that wasn't of you, Lord God, anything we've done maybe with our bodies, Lord God, that wasn't godly, Lord God, Lord, we ask you for forgiveness right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, wash us with the precious blood, Lord Jesus, that you shed upon Calvary, Lord God, that even though it may be a scar, Lord God, because of your blood, you'll make it as white as snow, Lord God. Put it in a sea of forgetfulness, Lord God, to be remembered no more, Lord God. Lord God, remind us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that blesses the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, Lord. But our delight is in the law of the Lord, and in your law, Lord God, we should and need to continue to meditate day and night. And help us to understand, Lord God, that if we're in you, Lord God, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. And he shall not also wither, and whatever their men doeth, it will prosper because of you, Lord God. Let us remind us, Lord God, that the steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord. Lord, we just say thank you tonight, Lord, for your mercy, Lord God. Look upon the men of Beulah right now. In the name of the Son that have fallen by the wayside, Lord. Some that maybe even given up on you, Lord God, but remind them, Lord God, that you are our source and you are our strength, Lord God. Remind them, Lord God, that you will never leave them, Lord God. Hallelujah. And never forsake them, Lord God. Remind them, Lord God, that you are there with them even to the end of the ages, Lord God. Prick their heart even right now, Lord God. Remind them, Lord God, that we are to trust in you with all our heart and lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways, we should need to acknowledge you. And if we acknowledge you, that you will direct our path, Lord. We say thank you tonight for your grace, for your mercy, Lord God, for your love. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for loving us, even when we may feel down and out, Lord God. You still love us. Even though we may think it's the end, Lord God, you will still carry us, Lord God. Lord, look upon the men right now. And we're trusting and believing you, Lord God, that you will bring restoration to their lives, Lord. That at the end of the day, that they would give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we bless your name right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Eternal God, our Father in heaven, we come to you right now just grateful. We come to you knowing, dear Lord, that this day itself is a gift from you. Your word tells us that your mercies are new every morning. And we just thank you because just as you commanded the sun to rise and set, and it has done so for thousands of years, in the very same way, your faithfulness remains steady. It remains unchanging. It remains unwavering. And so, Father, because we know that you are so loving and you are so kind and you are so faithful, because we know, dear Lord, that we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, we know that if we are able to do that with our faults and our frailties, we know, dear God, that we can ask you for whatsoever it is that we need. And you, being a father who loves better than we could ever even imagine, better than we could ever understand, you will give us not only the things that we may ask for on occasion, but you will always give us what we need. And so right now, Father, we come lifting up the men of Beulah Tabernacle to you, dear Lord. And the men who are our loved ones, the men who are our brethren, dear God. The men who are our fathers, our brothers, our uncles, our cousins, our nephews, our sons. And we lift them up, dear God, because you made us in your image, and so you are the one who knows exactly what we need. You shaped our body from the dust, dear God, and so you know exactly what is necessary to keep it healthy. You breathed into us, and so you know exactly what is needed to maintain life. You made us a living soul, and so you know exactly what is needed to keep us at peace, Father. So right now, dear Lord, we lift up all of who we are, spirit, soul, and body. We lift up every emotion that we have, dear God, because we as men often neglect the reality that we have emotions. We as men, dear God, often get looked over when it comes to having emotions. And right now I cast aside those fallacies, dear Lord, because they are not what you created. That idea of a hard man that feels nothing is not what you created. You yourself love. And being created in your image, you allowed us to love. You yourself experience happiness. And being created in your image, we are able to experience much the same. You yourself have felt the pain of children going astray, the sadness of our rejecting you, and being made in your image, we are able to feel much the same. So I pray, dear God, that you help us to steward these emotions that you have placed within us, because they were placed there by you for a reason. I pray that you would guard our hearts and our footsteps, dear Lord. Help us to recognize and remember that a lot of the ways that we go astray start with good intentions, Father. And if I could borrow one of the colloquialisms, dear Lord, it's often been said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So help us to recall to mind, dear Lord, the reality that very often sin starts with wanting to achieve a good thing in a bad way. For many of us, dear Lord, as your son, Junior Deacon Austin, mentioned, dear Lord, for many of us, we've used our bodies in ways that they weren't intended to be used. But I pray, Father, that you would help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, because that is our reasonable service. You created our bodies to be your temples, not to be tools for our own pleasure, dear Lord. And again, as I said, you already know, Father, that the desires that you have placed in us are exactly that, desires that you have placed in us. But you have orchestrated a means for everything that you have placed in us to see its fulfillment. And so when we go off the path, Father, and we attempt to fulfill these desires that you've placed in us in our own way, we are perverting what you have created. And so I pray, dear Lord, that every crooked thing within us will be made straight. Everything that is out of the way, Father, I pray that you would bring it back into the order that you have ordained. Every place within us where there's dryness, Father, I pray that you would bring life to it. I pray that you would water the dry places within these men, Father. I pray that where there's death in their lives, that you would speak to the dry bones in those valleys and bring them all together. Connect them and put flesh and sinew upon them and bring back life. You created us to be in fellowship with you, Father. And so I pray that before we seek after anything, before we pursue anything else in this world, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to do exactly what you told us to do and seek first your kingdom and all its righteousness. Because if we do that, dear Lord, you said that all these things will be added unto us. Help us to have a proper perspective and to put things in their proper place and order. And we thank you, dear Lord, that if we do that, putting you at the head of everything, everything else will fall into position. And I bless you again for these men right now, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence one more time, God, to worship, to glorify, to honor your name, Lord, knowing that you are worthy, God, to receive all of our praises, all of our honor, all of the glory. Lord, we thank you, mighty God, for allowing us this time and space, God, where we can get into your presence, Lord Jesus, reading your words, my God, hearing, oh God, your words being explained to us, my God, hearing, oh God, your words, oh God, so that we can fill our spirit man, feed our spirit man, oh God, with your words. We thank you, mighty God, for allowing us, oh God, this time and space, oh God, to communicate with you. Lord God, giving us, oh God, the opportunity to humble ourselves before you, Jesus, and to fall prostrate at your feet. Lord, we thank you, mighty God, for your grace and your mercy that you have extended unto us. Lord Jesus, know that while we were yet sinners, you died. You died, mighty God, so that we might live. And we thank you even right now, Jesus, for life. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us the opportunity to come boldly to your throne of grace, where we can ask for forgiveness, where we can seek your face. Lord Jesus, where we can, oh God, ask of you anything, God. Jesus, according to your will, and it will be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly before you tonight one more time, Jesus, casting all our cares upon you, Jesus, knowing that you care it for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your protection and your guidance upon each and every lives. Lord, we could have been otherwise minded, but you kept us, mighty God. Lord Jesus, so many of us, oh God, Jesus, could be dead, oh God, a long time ago. Lord God, be in the land of the forgetfulness, Lord Jesus. Lord God, but you kept us, Lord. Help us, oh God, to realize, mighty God, that we're not living by chance. Lord Jesus, we're living because your hands, oh God, is upon each and every one of our lives. Lord Jesus, and because we are still here, my God, help us, oh God, to realize, oh God, that there's work for each and every one of us to do. Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, to know that you have a purpose for every lives, oh God. Jesus, we are not living, oh God, because of chance. Lord, we are not living because of luck. Lord Jesus, we're living because of your grace and your mercy. Lord Jesus, you're the very breath that we breathe. Lord Jesus, your words told us, oh God, that man is as grass. Lord God, your words told us that man is as a vapor. Lord, today we appear and tomorrow we are gone. This minute we appear and then the next minute we're gone. Lord, we are frail and we're nothing without you. Lord Jesus, we fall, oh God, on our face and our knees, my God. We fall lying down, oh God, spread out, Lord God, before you, asking you, Jesus, to have your way in each and every lives. Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, to know that we have been anointed, oh God. Each and every one of us have been anointed, my God, to bear fruits. Lord Jesus, we don't want to be like that fig tree that beareth not fruit, my God, because, God, we do not want you to curse us and allow us to dry up, my God. Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, to bear fruit, Jesus, for you, mighty God. Jesus, I pray, oh God, that you will have your way in each and every lives. Lord God, let every heart be encouraged tonight, Lord God. Lord God, in spite of what we might be going through, Lord Jesus, whatever trials, whatever persecution, Lord God, we might be going through, help us, oh God, to know that there is greater, God, there is greater ahead for us, Jesus. And this is not the time for us to throw in the towel. This is not the time for us to give up and to give in. Jesus, this is not the time for us, oh God, to lose faith and to lose hope. Lord Jesus, because we have seen, my God, Lord God, how you bring your children, oh God, through, Lord Jesus, whatever persecution, Lord Jesus, whatever trials, whatever tests, my God, and no matter how it had looked, my God, Jesus, you brought them out. Jesus, you made a way for them. You made a way of escape for your children, Lord God. Lord Jesus, help us to realize you're the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Help us, oh God, to hold on unto your unchanging hands. Help us, oh God, not to give up. This is not the time to give up. Lord God, knowing that your coming is at hand. Lord God, you can crack the sky any minute, my God. And we don't want to be caught, Lord Jesus, like the five
foolish virgin that did not make preparation and have enough oil in their lamps. Jesus, help us, oh God, to be like the five wise virgins. Lord, to have our lamps trim and ready at all times, to have extra oil in our lamps, mighty God. Help us, oh God, to be ready and to be prepared, my God. Jesus, help us, oh God, not to be caught off guard. Lord God, knowing that, Lord Jesus, no man know the day nor the hour when you shall come. Lord Jesus, you shall come like a thief in the night. Lord Jesus, because your words told us, mighty God, if we knew when the thief was coming, then we will set up, my God. We will prepare ourselves, oh God, to take that thief down. But Lord God, we don't know. And Jesus, that's how your coming is going to be. Help us, oh God, to make our calling and election sure. Help us to be ready, mighty God. Encourage every heart, Jesus, that's on this line, my God. And even those that are not able to make it on this evening, Lord God, touch them, my God, wherever they are. Minister to the needs of your people, Jesus. You see our shortcomings, oh God. You see where we fail, Jesus. You see our weak points, my God. Jesus, you know, God, where it hurts. Jesus, because the scripture told us, God, that you are, oh God, Jesus, you're in touch with the you're in touch with the feelings of our infirmities, Lord God, because you were at all points tested as we are, yet without sin. Lord, help us to know that we can make it without sinning. Lord, help us to know that we can go through without sinning. Lord Jesus, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds. Wash us, God, and we shall be clean. Wash us, mighty God, and we shall be as white as snow. Create in us, God, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us, Jesus. Help us, oh God, to put on the old arm of faith so that we'll be able to stand, my God, knowing that, Lord God, this warfare is not a physical warfare. Lord God, this warfare is spiritual. Lord Jesus, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, my God, and against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Help us to gird our loins, oh God, Jesus, with your words. Help us, oh God, to gird our loins, oh God, with prayer and fasting. Help us, oh God, just to reach out and to touch you, God, because, Lord, you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Jesus, according to the power that worketh in us, help us, oh God, to build our spiritual life in you so we can have the power to overcome. Help us, oh God, just to build our spiritual lives daily, Jesus. Help us, oh God, to keep our Holy Spirit that we have in us, oh God, on fire, because it's the Holy Spirit that is within us that remind us, God, daily, oh God, of our closeness to you, God. Jesus, we will not know our closeness to you, God, if we're not living in the Spirit. Lord God, guide our steps, guide our path. Holy Spirit, lay your hands upon every member of the Beulah Tabernacle family. We pray for our leaders, God. We pray, oh God, for Bishop Michael, Lord God, and Lady Michael, and their house, my God, their children, their grandchildren. Lord, continue to use your manservant for your glory. Lord, you see his heart towards your people. Lord Jesus, you see the genuineness of his heart, oh God. He wants to see us, oh God, living pure, oh God, living a life pure, oh God, from sin. Lord Jesus, help him, oh God, encourage his heart. Jesus, comfort him, Lord God. Jesus, I pray, God, that you provide for him. I pray, oh God, that you will strengthen him and keep him. Lord Jesus, renew him, Lord God. Jesus, as he pour out his heart, oh God, every time that he gets the opportunity to talk to your people, God, he pours out, my God, he gives it his all. Lord God, pour back into him, Jesus. Lord God, help us, oh God, to see, oh God, that the leadership that we're under, Lord Jesus, it's not many people that have this kind of leadership. Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, to live, my God, a life pleasing unto you, while we are not living to please our bishop, my God, We're striving to please you, God. Jesus, our bishop, oh God, will feel good. Lord God, your bishop, oh God, will our bishop will see, oh God, the fruits in us, God, and that is going to be encouraging to him. Lord God, we're not living to please him. We're living to please you. And if we continue to please you, God, your name will be glorified. Your name will be exalted. Your name will be lifted up on high. Holy Spirit, have your way, God, in each and every member on this line. Lord God, remember the sick and the afflicted. Lord God, I pray, oh God, that for healing, oh God, in their bodies, in their minds, oh God. Cover each and every one under your blood. Keep us under your blood, my God, as we continue to seek your face. Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, to run this race with patience, knowing that this race is not for the swift, neither is the battle for the strong, but mighty God, for those that endure to the end. Grant us the endurance, oh God, that we need to go all the way with you, Jesus. Help us, oh God, not to get weary in well-doing. Jesus, knowing that in due time, God, we will reap eternal life. Have your way, Jesus, I pray. Hear us, oh God, when we call upon you. In Jesus' precious name, we say thanks. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Lord God, we thank you for this time that we can come before your presence, oh God, even sit under this teaching that we received today. Father God, how do we get closer to you? And I thank you, Lord, that we return to your word, to your book, to lead us and to guide us on how to be closer to you, Lord, because you did not leave us defenseless. You did not leave us in this world to just wonder for ourselves. I pray the people that are in Beulah Tabernacle, the people who are just listening to this prayer that feel like they've been running on empty, oh God, that feel like their lives are getting overwhelmed, that feel like things are getting too heavy and hectic for them to handle, oh God, overwhelmed with depression or anxiety, oh God, or family issues, oh God, or struggles in school, that they remember that you are what fills them up. You are what gives them the strength to continue on. Father God, your word tells us that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when we forget, Lord, please remind us, oh God, that it is your strength that is perfect. When we come to our end, oh God, at the end of our rope, that it is your strength that keeps us to continue on. And I thank you, Lord, for your strength that is rising up in us right now, oh God. The soul that is dealing with their heaviness in their heart, oh God, your strength is rising up in them right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Just like a child walks up to their father, Lord, a small child walks up to their father and lifts their arms to their father for their father to pick them up. Father God, we lift up our arms to you right now to pick us up, oh God. Pick us up, oh Lord. Strengthen us and rise us above what we are going through. Help us to give us the strength that we need to continue to push and persevere through it, oh God. I pray right now over the men of Beulah Tabernacle, Lord, over the men of your kingdom, oh God, specifically the young men, Lord, that you open up their eyes so they can see the truth of who they are, the truth of the path that they are supposed to walk on, oh God, the truth that their lives matter, the truth, oh God, that their hearts also matter, Lord, that the world is trying to deceive them of what your word says. The world is trying to deceive them and feed them lies and tell them they have to be a certain way. Lord, but you give us the word. You tell us that we have to walk according to your word, oh Lord, that you will direct and guide our path, that you will literally light the way that we need to go. Father God, if it's money struggles, oh God, if it's identity issues, oh God, let your men know who they are, Lord. Open their eyes to see clearly. Open their ears to hear your voice when so many things are influencing them in this world, oh God. Whether it be social media or TV, oh God, or fame and fortune, that they see these things and they think they need them. Father God, let their ears be open to hear the peacefulness of your voice, Lord. Hallelujah. If they weren't raised with a peaceful voice of a father, Lord, let them hear your voice, oh God, to give them softness in their hearts, oh God, so they know that they are loved. Lord, even as women, help us, oh God, to be there for your men, oh Lord, to be the hand that they hold, oh God, to remind them that they are men of God, that they can continue to be men of God, that we are not women who don't want a head. We are not women who don't want to be led, oh God. We want men to lead us and guide us, O God, just with the path that you said, O God, how you, Lord, are the head, and the man comes after you, O God, and after the man is us, O God. So, Lord, let them know that this is not a world we're trying to live in where we take over and we take their spots, but we want them to stand and to be strong, O God, that they can stand where you place them, the portion of life, O God, where you place them, on the pedestal where you put them, O God, that we are not here to overtake them or take over their responsibilities in your kingdom. We want them to rule just as we rule, O God, just as you rule, O Lord, just as we look up to you to lead us and to guide us. Father God, we are your servants, and we come before you with our heads bowed, our hearts bowed to you, O Lord, and to ask that you have your way in each and every one of our lives. We stretch forth our hearts to you this day, O God, and we know that the things that we speak shall come to pass. They shall come to pass. Just like you, O Lord, when you spoke the words and created everything in this universe, we speak to the lives of the men today that they will stand up, that they will be who you call them to be, that no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, we speak these things, and it is so in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That every young boy will rise up, not to be an angry man to destroy things, O God, but to be a proud, confident man to build things, O God. Build things for your kingdom. Build things for their families, O Lord. Hallelujah. All the families that are out here, O Lord, without their leader, without their guidance, help them, Lord Jesus. Help them, O God. All the men that are walking around without their guidance, O God, without their path to be in front of them, help them, O God. Hallelujah. The enemy is trying to destroy families, to destroy lives. And he knows if he takes out the men from our lives, how much harder it is, O God. We pray for these families right now. We pray for these people right now, that your will is done in our lives, that your perfect will is done. Have your way in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with fervency and with expectation, we come before your presence this night. We thank you, Lord, that you have delighted in us to give us your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a blueprint for life. Hey, Yadabosha, you've given us a blueprint for victory. You've given us a blueprint to please you. We thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you, Lord, that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. We thank you, Lord, that the word has gone forth out of your mouth. It's not going to return void. It's going to prosper where you please. It's going to bring increase. It's going to bring healing. It's going to bring salvation. It's going to bring clarity. It's going to bring revelation. It's going to bring an anointing. Lord God, your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrows. It is a discerner of the intent of the heart, and nothing is open, nothing is hidden from it. Lord God, we are open and bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so, Lord God, we thank you for the word that is the entrance of life. We thank you for your word that is wisdom and truth. We thank you for your word that is spirit and its truth. And tonight, Lord, as that word has gone forth to encourage your people, as that word has gone forth to share how to be in your presence and to enjoy the closeness of relationship, how to experience the Abba Father experience, how to be able to hear your voice, to know that whether we are in a familiar place or an unfamiliar place or even a hostile environment, that, Lord God, your word can reach us there. We bless you tonight and thank you that you want us to be connected to you, not by emotion, not by the philosophies of man, but you want us to be connected through your word. And tonight we give you praise and we give you glory that your word is working right now. Your word is settled in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Your word, oh God, we treasure it more than our necessary food. Lord God, your word is delight to our spirit. Your word is strength to our soul. And even now, faith is being built because we receive your word. Lord, we say tonight, your word is true. We say amen and yes to your word. And it is with this faith and confidence that we come to you tonight as one on behalf of the men of Beulah Tabernacle, on behalf of the men in our lives. Lord God, whether they be fathers, whether they be husbands, whether they be sons, whether they be grandsons, whether they be nephews or uncles, Lord God, we bring them to you tonight. Oh, God, men that are alone, men, oh God, who have been driven by their flesh to make wrong decisions, men, Lord God, that have been challenged by the crossroads of decision. Tonight, Lord God, we are praying that you will touch their hearts, broken men, depressed men, men that have been hurt and despised, Lord God, men that have felt rejected, oh God, men that have tried and have failed. Tonight, Lord God, we pray that you will touch their hearts. Oh God, we are not here to remind them of failure, but we're here to intercede for their success. Oh God, we speak life into the valley. We speak life into the valley of dry bones. We speak healing even to them who may feel that because they don't meet the standards of the world, that they may be less than a man. But the devil is a liar. I thank you that you know how to make a man. You know how to restore a man. You know how to heal a man. And tonight, Lord, we pray that you will touch the hearts of the discouraged, that you will remind those that have lost their way, that you will encourage the wayward, and that you would restore. We speak restoration in the name of Jesus. Restore their souls. Restore their mind. Restore their peace. Restore their hope. Restore their faith. Restore their health. Oh God, restore. We don't come in judgment, and help us, Lord, not to speak to them in the spirit of judgment. There's enough of it already on them. Oh God, and we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you offer the way of life. Hallelujah. You don't offer death. You offer life. You said, come unto me, all he that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus declared, I'll give you rest. Oh God, the thief goeth not but out for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We speak life in the face of death. We speak abundance in the face of poverty. We speak healing in the face of sickness. We speak wholeness in the face of brokenness. We speak restoration in the face of despair and loss. You are the God that can turn it around. Turn it around for husbands, Lord. Turn it around for fathers. Turn it around for sons. Oh God, turn it around for our grandchildren. Oh God, put a shield about those men that are holding fast to your word. word. Put a shield around those men that have made up their minds, come hell or high water, that there's no turning back. Lord, preserve each son of Oshanda. Preserve the men with a made up mind. Use them to encourage. Use them as ambassadors. Use them with the word of wisdom. Let us not speak the word of the flesh, but give us, Lord God, the tongue of the wise, that we might speak a word in season. Lord God, right now, I thank you that it's not over until you say so. And Lord God, for the women, oh God, for the wives that are crying out for their husbands, Lord God, let them know that their answers on their prayers are not in vain. Lord God, for daughters crying out for their brothers, oh God, let them know that their prayers are not in vain. Oh God, for every mother that's crying out for a grandson, for every aunt crying out for her nephew, for every grandmother crying out for the heritage. Oh God, tonight we come by faith. We're standing in agreement and we speak those things that are not as though they were. We see the men healed. We speak now, and we prophesy to the wind, come now, O breath of God, and breathe on these hair slain. Let your ruha, let your breath blow on them tonight. Lord God, stir them up by your Holy Spirit. Stir them up, even Lord God, like Elijah needed to be stirred. It wasn't through the earthquake, it wasn't through the fire, but it was through a still small voice. It was through the whisper. Hallelujah. Let there be a whisper in some man's spirit that lets him know that it ain't over, because God is still on the throne. Tonight we bless you. Tonight we thank you. Tonight we know that you can make all things new. And tonight, Lord, we commit this prayer. We commit these men. We bring these prayers and we offer up a praise right now. We thank you for the intercessory prayer. We thank you for those touching and agreeing. We thank you for those that believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do what only you can do, Lord. Make the darkness light, Lord. What's wrong, make it right. Fight the battles, Lord. Fight the battle. The battle belongs to you, but the victory belongs to us. And tonight, Lord God, I thank you that even when it comes down time for us to fight the good fight of faith and to hold on to eternal life, we stand upon your word and we allow our conduct to reflect our conviction. We allow our conduct to reflect our commitment. We allow our conduct to reflect our consecration. And so even now, Lord God, we pray this prayer. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you in Jesus' name.